And among the survivors of the attack, gathered at Pearl Harbor today, is Renee's father, Arthur Bud Montaigne. On December 7th, he was just reporting to his post as a radio man aboard the USS California. The California and the Arizona were among the big gray battleships that lined Pearl Harbor that morning, and Bud Montaigne has these memories of that day.
There was one moment that day that sticks with me. The Japanese were dropping their bombs, and then they would circle back and strafe the ship. Our anti-aircraft guns were firing back, but those of us on the flag bridge, which was high above the main deck, couldn't do anything. My job as a radioman was to communicate orders from the admiral to the fleet, but the ship had been struck by torpedoes, and flooding water had knocked out all the power. So the radios were dead. We were well trained to fight at sea, but at this moment, the mighty USS California was tied to a pier, totally vulnerable. I looked over, and there I saw Captain Harold Train, chief of staff to the admiral. He was shaking his fist at the Japanese planes. He was the most stalwart naval officer I ever knew. But he couldn't do anything but shake his fist, and he didn't give a damn that they were shooting machine gun bullets at him. I remember thinking then that I wasn't going to survive. No panic, you just say, this is an event I'm not going to live through. So I'll never get married. I'll never have kids. I'm going to die. It's a feeling almost of tranquility. You just calmly say, this is it, and you wait, and you wait. 3 months ago, I was watching on television as planes crashed into the World Trade Towers. I imagined how many of those people on the top floors must have felt. That peculiar anguish of not having any power over your own fate, and then, almost simultaneously, a feeling of acceptance. I also knew that, in one sense, September 11th was like Pearl Harbor. It would change our future. At Pearl Harbor on December 7th, Japanese bombers sent 3 bombs into the California. They exploded below decks. After helping the wounded off, I and other crew members swam under the burning oil to the shore. I didn't learn for 3 or 4 days what had happened with the radio crew who were down below. My best friend Joe Ross was among them. Chief Petty Officer Tom Reeves had organized them into a kind of a bucket brigade. They were passing anti-aircraft ammunition hand-to-hand to the gun deck above. Finally, the missing men, Joe, Chief Reeves, and others, were found dead. They were buried with full military honors. I never saw the bodies. For several years as the war went on, out in the South Pacific, I would sometimes dream of seeing Joe and Chief Reeves down below on the California, lifeless. Last Memorial Day, I told this story on Morning Edition. Joe Ross's family heard it in Texas and put me in touch with his older brother, Paul. I told Paul all about Joe and how he was held in such high esteem by the radio gang, and about how I loved him like a brother. Paul Ross had been waiting for 60 years to hear from somebody on the California about Joe. I've never been involved in Pearl Harbor reunion activities or any real veterans events. I prefer to keep in the present. But while I'm here, I thought I might do something I haven't done before. I'll just go by Joe Ross's grave and say hello.
Arthur Bud Montaigne of Menifee, California. He's in Honolulu with his family today to mark the anniversary of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. And we've got pictures, maps, and more on our website, npr.org.